Get ready to be on the cutting edge of the Florida information world with Chris Ingram and his robots on AM 820 News and 98.3 FM. Call now. Now back to Chris.
Well, all right, AM 820, your conversation station, and I'm so happy to have somebody in studio here with me. I'm Corey Dillon, in for Chris Ingram. It's Dr. Harold Shinitsky.
Very good. I'm impressed.
I'm going to get it. I mean, that could be dangerous territory for a broadcaster.
You ought to hear it over the intercom when they screw it up.
I love it. But you're here to talk about sports psychology. You've been practicing for 30 years. Yep. You say you've worked with Olympians, professionals,
ranked junior athletes.
Okay, athletes. And I want to talk about Jameis Winston first and foremost, but you mentioned that you just happened to be in Thailand. You just got back from Thailand.
Yep. My father and I just did a tour of Thailand.
And you said safest place you've ever felt traveling?
From my vantage point, safest place I've ever traveled outside of the country. Absolutely.
Wow. That's nuts, because I've heard a lot of horror stories. Not from anybody that I know, but I see things.
The food was incredible.
Really? And you ate, like you said,
scorpions,
that's crazy.
Larvae, crickets. Oh, yeah.
Why did you? Were you just starving?
When in Rome, do as the Romans.
And they eat that stuff? I mean, just,
Well, they had a combo platter, so I figured I'd go
for it. Oh, God. It's kind of like a seafood tower that you could get at, like, Sea Salt or something.
It was the finest cuisine.
Oh, my God. Well, I wanted to, when you mentioned that you had been in Thailand, I wanted to talk to you about these boys, these soccer players, because I kind of joked. I said, after they get out, they're going to need somebody to unscrew their heads. I would think so.
Unfortunately, this is a very terrifying experience, and for some of them, it's going to be very life-altering.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as we learned this morning, or at least I learned, I didn't realize that they couldn't even swim. They don't even know how to swim.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who don't fit that category. We live in a state where every 250 yards, there's a body of water, so everyone needs to learn how to swim.
Right, but they don't.
Right.
They don't. I mean, I guess I just thought you grow up in an island nation, you would know how to swim, but... I guess not everyone does know.
Not everybody. Way. And for an individual who's on the precipice of I might die, how absolutely daunting that prospect is.
At that age, though, too. I mean, because they are boys. Mm-hmm. They're not even really on the precipice of becoming men yet.
Right.
They're
they may not
young.
Even have the problem-solving skills of thinking, like, what can I do to get out of here? They just must be terrified.
Wow. So unfortunately, you left a little too early. You might have, you might have been able to help. Your services were needed.
Crisis management over there.
Well, speaking of crisis management, let's talk about Jameis Winston. And I don't know. I mean, you probably have never worked with him because you probably wouldn't be able to tell me.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay. Okay. Well, I remember when the Bucks first signed him. And a former player who is a friend of mine and a fellow broadcaster, I won't say his name, to protect him. But I remember him saying, he goes, I have never seen anybody with this many red flags make it.
Yeah,
and here they are. They're popping up again. I mean, for a while there, he was getting advice from Coach Dungy, and it seemed like smooth sailing. We were doing great, but I don't know. What's happening?
Yeah, there's a curious statement I like to say to my athletes as they begin to transition from college to the pros, and that is that now that you're going to make a ton of money, money doesn't make you a better person. It just makes you more of whatever the heck you are.
Right.
And so in this case, we're seeing an individual whose decision-making may not necessarily be the best.
Right. And unfortunately, there are still some people trying to bail him out. I mean, it's been pointed out that he basically got a slap on the wrist. It's a few game suspension, which is less than Tom Brady got for Deflategate.
Yes. The sad reality is that there are some individuals out there who don't make their decisions based on morals, good, bad, right, wrong, which is what the majority of people do.
Well, they don't necessarily even have morals.
Well, they have their morals. They're different than the morals that most of us might consider acceptable. And those individuals I lovingly refer to as consequence-driven morality. And they only care about two things. One, what's the odds I'm going to get caught, which is pretty small overall. And two, are the consequences great enough I should even care?
Yeah, well, the story goes that there were two Uber rides in Arizona. He was partying, he was drinking, and now he's, I guess, saying that he doesn't really remember what happened. I mean, that's plausible. I went to college. I understand blackouts, but I would think that the people that Jameis should be surrounding himself with probably don't support that kind of partying, shall we say.
If you want to understand somebody, the peer group that they oftentimes associate is a fairly decent reflection. It doesn't mean that you necessarily have to follow everything they do. But in this case, a true friend would never put someone in harm's way. And so there seems to be this blaming tendency that we keep hearing about, that other people are doing it. rather than taking personal control. I mean, you can point me and tell me to do something, but it's still my choice. So, yeah, the peer group is probably important. If there's a handler that's around, that would be really great for someone to be assigned to this individual.
I mean, come on. But that's the thing. It's like, do these professional athletes, these grown men really need babysitters? I mean, who wants that job?
Unfortunately,
I mean, it depends what it pays. But
we as a society have helped raise a lot of individuals to have kind of what's called a narcissistic personality. From middle school on, you know, they're given privileges that the rest of us don't. High school, they show up late, but they're not considered tardy. They don't have to do their work on time. Colleges, you don't have to get the same admission score to get in if you can slam dunk a basketball. You bring millions of dollars to the university. People throw themselves, men and women, for different purposes, just to be able to be around them. They're treated differently. Laws don't apply to them. And so we've actually helped raise them. And that's a sad reality because they've had this kind of tendency provided to them. And in this case, we're having someone who might be crossing the lines on a frequent enough basis that we're all becoming aware of it.
Yeah. I would imagine it maybe is only going to get worse because there is less accountability. I mean, everybody gets a trophy now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The participation trophy.
Yeah. I didn't get one. I've only earned a couple of trophies in my day, but I earned them.
Yeah. The drawback that we're questioning now is what's the acceptable character? You know, what's allowed in professional sports? And as long as you can be one of the most elite athletes, there's a tremendous kind of rope that they give you. And so there's this kind of double-edged, you know, sword where we're saying, well, you know, if you can really do this sport fantastically, we're willing to put up with it. Even the fan base is willing to put up with it. You know, they'll recruit players. If he happens to be removed from our team, another team will pick him up. And that is a reality that is out there for the most elite athletes. That other team would say, like, we can kind of rein him in. We'll keep him close. We'll help him. And so there's this reality that even when there's a major consequence, there are still privileges and rewards.
It is interesting. Tim Tebow, Colin Kaepernick, you know, I mean, nobody wants to touch those guys. And I don't know that it has anything to do with morality. Does it have to do with their playing ability? You know, it's the muddied waters are getting only muddier, I think.
Yeah, in one of those cases, it might be that they're, you know, the owners are looking at what's the economic revenue, the impact on my team.
Right.
And since we're talking about billionaires who are fighting with millionaires, I think everyone should have the right to be able to express themselves in a way that, you know, is reasonable and, you know, in a civil way. We live in a society now where, unfortunately, people are in this split, this dichotomy, either you're with me or against me. And rather than listening to what people's concerns are with this young man on our team, Jameis, I hope that he is working with someone now that'll help him be able to make better decisions.
I mean, can you fix something? I mean, like a grown man, I mean, can you fix something? How do we solve a problem like Jameis?
Well, as we always say in therapy. I mean,
and especially in the course of a season.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I always like to say to people who are referred to me, either they're referred by one of their friends on the team, mm-hmm. and so nobody needs to know they're coming to me, or if it's by a commissioner or for an owner of a team, they get referred to me. And the usual referring question from a commissioner, an owner, or a head coach is, Doc, I don't want you to make him a better athlete. I want you to make him a better person. And by making someone a better person, they become a better athlete. So for anyone who comes into any type of sports psychologist, as an athlete, if you don't like being held accountable, therapy sucks.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I would think, I mean, maybe that was Tony Dungy's gift, not just as a coach, but mm-hmm. I think he probably, that was his impact on his players. I think that probably they were better men because they played under Coach Dungy.
Yeah. And for individuals to make any personal change, we always say there has to be insight. You need to be willing to acknowledge that there's something that needs to be addressed. If you don't start there, if there isn't any willingness to acknowledge that this is an area that's flawed for me, there's nothing for me to address.
Right. But in this case, you know, criminal behavior, mm-hmm. Which he's exhibited before, you know, crab legs and mm-hmm. alleged accused rape and things like that. Mm-hmm. Actually admitting to it puts them in an even more, I mean, their career, their entire lives, their livelihood, everything is at risk. So
true. I don't know about the legal status that's going to take place,
right.
But if the consequences aren't there, and so the current status, as you're pointing out on all of these situations, the consequences have not been significant enough if they in fact happened, the consequences certainly aren't enough to alter one's behavior.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting. I was watching sort of the 60 Minutes retrospective over the weekend, and I don't recall if it was Leslie Stahl who was interviewing Alex Rodriguez. And she asked, and I love this because I love crime dramas. I love body language. And, you know, people have their tells. They can't help what they're doing physically when they're trying to lie most of the time. I mean, I think even OJ did it, frankly.
The nonverbals.
You know, in other words, you know, Mr. Simpson, you know, how do you plead? And he's shaking his head, yes, the affirmative, up and down, saying absolutely not guilty. 100% absolutely not guilty. And Alex Rodriguez, you know, he was asked, have you ever done performance-enhancing drugs? And he said, no, but he shook his head, yes. And I just thought, dude, you totally just blew it. They can't help it. It's so interesting to me.
It is intriguing, since 60 to 80% of all communication is actually nonverbal. It's not what you say, but how you say it, which is the tell that you're talking about.
Right.
And there are individuals who work in special ops in the military, and their job is to be able to identify the tell. People who play poker are supposed to be able to, you know, identify that. And you did that during that interview.
What interview? That first one?
Well, the Alex Rodriguez you were talking about. Yeah, you identified a nonverbal message.
Right. Absolutely. God, there's so much to talk about, and I hope you can stick around for just another 15 minutes. We're going to talk to Dr. Harold Chinitsky.
Very good.
Woo! I got it. Sports psychologist, about his book and really about how you can apply these tools and tricks that you use on professional athletes and junior athletes to help people better their own lives.
In
you
life.
Know, because, hey, you know, even as a broadcaster, I can get stuck in a rut, too.
But you did a really good job so far.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm definitely keeping you around. We're coming back in just a few minutes here on AM 820.